My sisters and brothers, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't a moment in the entire life of Jesus during which mercy wasn't being poured out of every one of his pores towards anyone he came in contact with. Indeed, that is why he came. As he says in the gospel, "As the Father sent me," well, the Father sent him to show us God's mercy. And so Jesus did that. Just mercy everywhere. And some responded to that very well. He began his ministry among the poor and the sick and the outcasts, people for whom mercy was in very short supply. And in his presence, many of them felt that mercy, felt something they'd never felt before. They felt understood. They felt compassion. They felt him with them. And they had evoked faith. And that faith brought to them, in some cases, healing of their illnesses. In others, a sense of belonging that they never experienced before. For all of them, a sense that they were cherished and valued by the one who created everything. Cherished as God's most precious possessions. But for others, even though they were receiving from Jesus or being given by Jesus that same mercy, communicating that same love from God, couldn't receive it. When his enemies, known as the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the temple priests, who found him threatening, and wanted to challenge him and eventually killed him. They were surrounded by his mercy the same way the poor and the sick and the outcasts were. But it only confused them because his world, very much like our world, was a place where mercy was not the currency of the day. Mercy would get you nowhere in that world. What would get you somewhere was dominance and power. And many of those people who were surrounded by Jesus' mercy but couldn't receive it were really only interested not in the mercy that would make us one, but in the power that would make them better than everyone else. And so it couldn't touch them, even though it was surrounding them in abundance. Among the people who really didn't receive the mercy Jesus was giving, in a great paradox, were those who were closest to him, his chosen disciples, his students, the ones he picked to teach mercy. And I think the problem was, is that mercy implies that you need it, that somehow you're weak and wounded and in prison and hurt. And many of these disciples thought the exact opposite of themselves. We are strong. We are powerful. He needs us to protect him. And so they never quite understood the depth of his mercy towards them. Until they all broke in 1,000 pieces. They were strong. They were going to die with him. They were going to stay with him no matter what. And they all ran away, frightened, ashamed, terrified. They abandoned him. And he died alone with only a few women who understood his mercy very well. Perhaps nobody understood his mercy better than Mary Magdalene. Those who understood his mercy were able to stay with him. Those who couldn't quite get it ran away in fear and trembling and locked the doors so that they couldn't get them and do to them what they did to him. And they hear early in the morning that his tomb is empty. And I'm not so sure that for many of them that was good news, because they knew they had failed. And that if he's alive and comes and visits them, in their minds, the only thing that they could possibly get is a condemnation, a judgment, a sense of profound disappointment, of being reminded how they had failed so miserably. And so they were probably very nervous. And then, as the gospel tells us, that evening, even though the doors were locked, he comes and stands in their midst and says, "Not you bunch of losers. You left me. Not what's wrong with you. You'll never amount to anything. I'm replacing you with better disciples. You're fired." He doesn't say any of that. He first says, "Peace be with you." Shows them his wounds, and once again says, "Peace be with you." And I think in that moment, when he stands in their midst after they have failed him so bad, and doesn't judge them, and doesn't condemn them, and doesn't yell at them, and doesn't shame them and disgrace them, but offers them peace, they understood what mercy is. They understood what those who had been able to receive it understood. They understood what Mary Magdalene understood better than any of them. They then felt something they didn't think they needed. They felt cherished. They felt loved. They belonged. Not their false selves, but their real selves. Were accepted, and now they get the gift of peace, and then they get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then they are sent on a mission to do what he did for everyone they meet. And that wasn't to preach and to teach. It wasn't to work miracles. It wasn't, although they did some of that. It was to show every person that they met the same mercy that Jesus showed everyone. And they would have the same results. Some would receive it. Others rejected it. But nonetheless, their mission was to be people of mercy. Never judgment, never judging, never condemning. Only mercy, understanding, compassion, love. And in that moment, they are changed and they are sent. It has to happen all over again a week later when Thomas, who's missing, has to have the same experience. But he does. And they become missionaries of mercy. They are sent to the rest of the world the same way Jesus was sent to them. And that is what Easter is really about. Not simply that Jesus was dead and has come back to life again, but that human beings have been able to receive mercy in abundance. And in a world in which mercy matters not at all, to be about one and one thing only, showing mercy to everyone they meet. And the same is true for us. To know Jesus is risen is to know Jesus' mercy. To be able to receive Jesus' mercy because we are ready for it, because we know we are broken and we know we need it, is to be experience the resurrection. And we too receive his peace, and we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive his very essence. And with that, we are sent to be missionaries of mercy. Again, not proclaimers of words or doers of great deeds, but simply people of mercy in a world still where mercy doesn't count for anything, where mercy usually gets laughed at, where mercy is criticized. But we do live in a world that is so hungry and thirsty for mercy. We have been called to be those missionaries of mercy. But the first thing that's necessary is for us to allow ourselves to receive the mercy with which Jesus is surrounding us in his risen life. To feel it, to know it, and then to give it. And in fact, we will know that we know Jesus' mercy, not because we feel something inside. We will know Jesus' mercy, and we know that we will know that Jesus is risen because we find ourselves, when we want to do any, we want to do maybe a lot of other things to other people, treating them only and always with great mercy, with understanding, with compassion. And communicating that no matter what is true of them, they are cherished and loved. And that is how we know that Easter has taken a hold of us.